Well, all right. Think I'm going to do part two of Asteroids Will Spoil the Party Soon. And I'm going to start out by repeating the first couple of paragraphs here of Merlene's dream that we called Fun at the Fair, and then it was gone for a reason. Okay? So, Merlene said, just before waking up, I heard music like you hear at a county fair or an amusement park. The sound of a calliope was quite loud, then music from various rides joining the mix, and then laughter. I saw a huge Ferris wheel going around. It was like a snapshot, and then it was quiet, and everything was gone. And I woke up, and I knew that the time for attractions and distractions is over. And my thought was that the party is over, and then the elect will know that the only important pursuit is God. Everybody's going to know it. He's going to make a grand entrance. She said, I received by faith at random, Matthew 24 and 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no one, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. And I thought how amazing that this verse was given for when the party is over, which in my thought is that the next dream, which was Eve's, the party was over after three fireballs hit the earth. And a date is given in the Bible codes for this happening of September 23rd and 24th, which is one Hebrew day, right? One Jewish day of 2016. And I perceived that the Lord was saying that this date may not be connected to this happening, but to something else not yet seen in the code matrix, or else it is as Michael Drosnin found in the Bible codes, five roads, five ways. And then the rest of the text there, 37 through 39, says, and as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, sounds like a party, right? Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And of course, that was at the beginning of the 7 days. And this is when he knew that the timing of this, what the timing of this happening was, right? And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Okay, so we will know when, at the beginning of the 7 days, right? Just like when the coming of the Son of Man. Now, we know that the Lord's coming in two ways, an epiphany and then a parousia. And literally, this is the flood after the tribulation, but it also seems to fit well in the context of a flood of destruction coming now. And I believe this is the reason the Lord points to it. He's taught us that He can do that. But now I'd like to share with you an update. And in keeping with of that day and hour knoweth no one, I believe that a date would not be given for several things found in the matrix of these Bible codes. One is the coming of the Lord, which we believe is, as He said, as the latter rain in Hosea 6, 1 through 3. That's how He's coming. He's coming as an epiphany. And the Word says that He comes first as an epiphany and not as a parousia. And the Greek word for epiphany is the shining forth from. It's speaking about a shining forth from His people because of this latter rain outpouring of His Spirit. And of course, that's going to be poured out on the first fruits and the first fruits is going to pass it on to the rest of the body. Of course, the Greek word for parousia is that speaking about the physical coming after the tribulation of the Lord. The second thing that I believe that the date, which was 9/23 to 24 of 2016, would not be given for the beginning of the tribulation. And this is because Noah only knew when the 7 days started, when the first day arrived. Because God said, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the ground." Now we got 7 days that are the 70th week of Daniel, and Noah didn't know until the first day that there was 7 days until the flood or the great and terrible day of the Lord. He didn't know. And I believe, and of course, Daniel had the exact same time period, even the same number of days in his calculations. So I don't believe we're going to know. I don't believe God's going to give a date ahead of time for that. You can see hidden men on our site about those days. They're really quite amazing. But the beginning of the 3.5 years, the first 3.5 years, is about when the man-child manifests the anointing given in type to Jesus as the former rain at the beginning of his earthly ministry. Also, Daniel's revelation shows the covenant made at the beginning of the 7 days, and we haven't seen that yet. I know that they are working feverishly on it, but it has not yet happened. Even though it will happen secretly, the coming of the man-child ministry will reveal that it has come to pass. So, I'm trying to point out to you why, what this date is in the matrix, and what it, I don't think it is. Okay? From what I can see, there is one thing mentioned there that could be connected to the date. The asteroid, which comes ahead of God. Okay, in the codes, the year 5776 goes from 2015 to 2016. Around September of 2015 to October of 2016. And it's mentioned in the codes that it would begin with the 50th Jubilee year for the Jews. We are now in that year, 5776, that's 2016, until October the 2nd, when the new biblical year, or they, at least the Jews call it their biblical year, 5777, will begin. September is also mentioned in several codes. So, September of 2016 and before October the 2nd, because that's the end of that year mentioned. And here's one of the codes. Asteroid in the 24th of September, 5776, in the Bible code. The code says, quote, asteroid, unquote, quote, warning in front of God, unquote. An asteroid is coming in front of God. And then I have a link here, so you can look at it when Brad posts it. Also, quote, asteroid, unquote, quote, Tishri, which is September, and quote, 776, unquote, quote, warning in front of God, unquote. And here's a link pointing this out. Notice that we're not told how far the asteroid comes in front of God, because then possibly the date would say when the Lord is coming, right? Which we don't think is going to happen. Okay, it doesn't tell you how far in front. Could be a day or two. It could be before October the 2nd, which is the end of that year, and this Bible code would no longer be right after October the 2nd. Or it could have been one of those five roads, five ways. Not that it's not right, it's just that it is not the path that men went down. Okay? So this doesn't show us a day or an hour for His coming. However, we would consider that this would be very soon, since His coming is shown as 5776, and that year is over on October the 2nd, 2016. A code shows, quote, the coming of Messiah, unquote, and then, quote, 776, unquote, and I'll put the link there, and Messiah will come, quote, unquote, and it crosses, quote, 776, unquote, in this other Bible code link. I'm putting all these links in here so you can look at them. And Messiah arrives after Shemitah year in 776, which is in 2016. And then there's that Bible code link. And another Bible code link that says the same thing. So, it's interesting that another rabbi, Alon Anava, is saying, quote, Apocalypse star, Nibiru. Lots of folks believe that this is the star, okay, the star that announced Jesus is coming. Very interesting, because now we got a man-child coming. But he says the apocalypse star, Nibiru, and Messiah could arrive before the Jewish New Year, which is October 2nd and 3rd, 2016. Alon is a proponent of educating people about the potential threat of Nibiru. And I'll give you two links here you can look at concerning his works. Just thought to throw that in there. So the date, September 23rd through 24th. Some other things have said 25th, so I just will include that. But not the codes, I don't think, of 2016. It may be connected in the matrixes to the coming asteroid, maybe, which we believe will be broken into three according to the dreams. Or, I say again that this date may not be connected to this happening at all, but something else not seen in the code matrix. Or else, it is, as Michael Drosnin found, five roads, five ways, that God will reply according to what path men take. Right? So, although I have sought to know for certainty to be able to warn my brethren, so far the Lord does not want to show us any more than this. Could it be that He wants enough plausible deniability so that some will ignore the warning and be judged, and others would get their own personal warning? Because this is what I exhort you to do, is, you know, read this, examine it, pray, ask the Lord to show you what He wants for you, right? Or like in Sandy's recent dream, people will be translated out from in front of this tsunami. So I would say, repent, pray, confess your sin, sanctify yourselves so that you may escape. As we've seen in other dreams, this seems to be a deadline for the bride to be at the top of the mountain of God, with the hay having blown out of the back of her pickup truck on the way up, and seeing two suns in the sky at the top. And the latter part is not necessarily happening on that day. At any rate, hope you get my drift. It's probably easy when you go back and look at the text. I know I say more than is in the text, but you can slow down when you read the text and you can think about it, meditate on it. Anyway, as far as God's wanting to judge many on the coast, God is sovereign. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. And it doesn't matter whether He uses men or not. and he does quite often use vessels of dishonor. So here's an example that I thought was pretty neat. Gordon Bornman wrote me on 9/19 this year. He said, wouldn't the pending asteroid explain the overreaction over the pipe bombs / IEDs in New York with National Guard in the streets over an incident Obama refuses to say is terrorism? Given the inputs about the potential for the asteroid impact on the 23rd through the 25th of September, I saw the news about the gas pipeline leak and started to connect the dots. What if the leak does not exist or was intentionally started by the powers that be? This would be the perfect time to have people run out of gas in the next few days and in time for the weekend. And if they get early information on the asteroid, they would not be able to get away from the coastlines. The part I thought about was the timing. Why start the ramp on one of the coastal cities of the East Coast? They could have started in Chicago or Memphis or whatever. Good point. He says this has two benefits for the powers that be. Number one, it possibly keeps gas out of that pipeline before the floodwaters hit that area, this preserving the gas for the rest of the people. Number two, it prevents people from getting the news and being able to escape the destruction. This would serve the depopulation agenda. We know that the powers that be will eventually murder mass numbers of people, but you can maximize the casualties, quote, acts of God, unquote, like this, and allowing the doing away of more people without any blame attached. Has anyone else brought this up at UBM? That was his question to me. So I answered him on 9/20. I replied, yes, we thought of this in our morning prayer meeting and discussed it, that it might be sabotage for the purpose of restricting travel at that time. They're trucking gas in here. Well, we know that their bombings are planned all over the nation, so martial law would be all over. This was concerning his comment about how that they overreacted. I think they reacted just the way they wanted to react with those bombings by their little martial law there. And guess what? These people have already threatened to bomb all over the nation. You remember about a year and a half ago, they threatened this and threatened that. We're going to bomb such and such and such and such and such and such all over. So what's he going to do? Have martial law little by little till he takes over the nation? So on 9/20, I replied again to him. I said, I just asked the Lord to give me two heads if the criminal government had done this to trap people, so that they couldn't escape the tsunami, and I got two tails. So the Lord said, no, the criminal government isn't in charge of this, basically. Not that they're not being used, but God's going to take the credit, because then I felt to ask if you, that is God, was doing this so people wouldn't be able to escape, and got two heads for yes. I have no doubt, like Eve's dream, that there will be those who will escape by his hand. And like Sandy's dream, some will be translated to safety. And of course, some Christians will die before their time because they did not abide in Christ, the Word, the secret place of the Most High, Psalm 91. So, does this negate the fact that wicked men might have done this? No, not at all. It's just saying that the Lord is the one that's taking credit for this. He's the one that works all things out the counsel of his own will. He's the one you got to please. He's the one you got to repent to. He's the one. Okay? And I also on 9/20, I wrote, him again. I said, I'm asking the Lord now if the date, the 23rd through the 25th, was for the asteroids coming, and the Lord and Planet X would come a little later. As the dream showed, he would come during the New Madrid disaster, which is even after the East Coast earthquakes. And I got to tell you, even though I got a good answer the first, just a minute ago on that question, I haven't gotten a sure answer for this yet. And I think that there's a purpose for this. So, we see it's God bringing this judgment, even though he might use vessels of dishonor to bring it to pass. Since it is God, what do we need to do to escape? Well, repent, confess our sins, never worry about blaming anybody. You don't even have to go out there and blame the powers that be, because they're just puppets. It's God we're dealing with, right? He said, repent, confess our sins, and then walk by faith so that he can take away our curse and put it upon Jesus, because that's what the Bible says happened, right? It's not the nations or the government we need to fear, but God. He is a giant in this earth, and the nations are as a drop in his bucket, as he said. They're a very little thing. They are not in control of anything, nor are their masters, nor are their father, the devil. And they're not in control of nothing. The Lord's in control. He's the one we got to please, right? He's the giant in this earth. So that brings us to Vanessa Weeks' revelation that we called Humble Yourself and He Will Not Hurt You. Because that's what he said to her. Humble yourself. And he will not hurt you. Actually, that's what she said in the Lord to the people that were in the situation. So let me say first that great and terrible natural catastrophic events are prophesied to occur in the very near future. God's people must learn to abide in the secret place of the Most High. Please pay attention to this revelation and be honest with God and repent and put him first in everything you do. You're going to have to be led by the Spirit of God. You're going to have to hear his voice. It's hard to do while you're walking in the flesh. The flesh screams pretty loud and God talks pretty soft. So you got to get that flesh quiet down and get in touch with the Lord. If you never have done it and you're living on these coasts, you need to do it. Or if you're in the New Madrid seismic zone or other seismic zones, it don't make any difference. If you're living in these places, and in a big city too, by the way, if the economy goes down and so on and so forth, and you're in a big city, you're going to be in trouble. There's just-in-time food in these places. And you can get pretty hungry, kind of like the people at Katrina, before the government shows up. And you'll be quite docile by the time they show up. So, you know, we need to deal with our Father, right? We need to fear Him. And we need to obey Him. We need to sanctify ourselves. Amen? So, Vanessa said in a dream on 9/11/16, I saw a field like a green pasture with several rows of sheep standing together. I noticed that some of the sheep's wool was black and white. Well, this reminded me of Proverbs 2 and 13, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. And of course, these sheep were walking in somewhat darkness. 1 Samuel 2 and 9, he will keep the feet of his holy ones, but the wicked shall be put to silence in darkness. 1 John 1 and 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Well, you're going to have fellowship with Him. You're going to have to hear every step you need to take in the days to come. And He can be just as silent as you've been to Him, right? So I'm exhorting everyone out there, you need to have a fellowship, a close fellowship with the Lord, so He can lead you, He can guide you, He can protect you, He can deliver you. Jude 1 and 23 says, "And some save, and some save, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." I'd say that these with the black and white on are spotted by the flesh, darkness. And she said, these were running together. That is, the sheep that had the black and white. They were running together towards a man who was standing in the pasture. He was very big and strong, like a giant. There's our giant. I had a sense in this dream that this was a righteous man. I think it's the Lord, okay? As the sheep got close to him, he reached out with his right hand and drew out a silver spear as if from the sky. In other words, from heaven. This judgment comes from heaven. It doesn't come from men. There's people all excited about the men, but they're not excited about God. Some of the people that are pointing out, quite rightly, what's going on among men don't have any relationship with God, which is so foolish. Because all of these are just vessels of dishonor, according to Romans chapter 9. There's just one ruling over all, and that's the King, the Lord, the giant, right? When I saw this, I thought he was going to kill them. And I thought, humble yourself, humble yourself, and he will not hurt you. Yes, yes. Then all the sheep stopped and bowed down with their front legs stretched out. In other words, they were humbling themselves. And then she said, I woke up. Well, amazing. You know, Judy just received by faith at random Ezekiel 7, 5 through 10, which is exactly like Vanessa's word that she gives below. Judy's word was spoken by God to Israel as a type of the church. And he said in Ezekiel 7 and 5, "Thus saith the Lord, an evil, an only evil, behold, it cometh." This is not like just any ordinary evil. It's an only evil. Behold, it cometh. An end is come. The end is come. I mean, God's trying to get the point across here. It awakeneth against thee. Behold, it cometh. He's trying to get the point across, isn't he? Thy doom is come. How many ways can you say this unto thee? O inhabitant of the land, the time is come. The day is near. Near. A day of tumult and not of joyful shouting upon the mountains. Now will I shortly pour out my wrath upon thee. So he's talking about his apostate people. A day of tumult and not of joyful shouting upon the mountains. Now will I shortly pour out my wrath upon thee and accomplish mine anger against thee. Again, he keeps on and on and on. He's trying to impress us that this is a bad, bad, bad thing that's coming. And we need to be ready. And will judge thee according to thy ways. And I will bring upon thee all thine abominations. All at once, huh? Oof. And mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will bring upon thee according to thy ways, and thine abominations shall be in the midst of thee. And you shall know that I, the Lord, do smite. Now, like I said, how many different ways can you say the same thing here? He wants the point to come across here. Something bad is coming here. Behold the day, behold it cometh, thy doom is gone forth. The rod hath blossomed, pride hath budded. It's very clear, those in rebellion will humble themselves or they'll be judged. 1 Corinthians 11:31 says, but if we discern ourselves, we should not be judged. Oh, praise be to God. Some people are not good at discerning themselves. They've got their little fantasy world, and they see themselves in the kind of light that they want to see themselves, and they're not going to listen to anybody else, not even going to listen to God. He says, if we discern ourselves, or if we judge ourselves, some versions say, we should not be judged. 1 Corinthians 11 and 32 says, but when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. And 2 Thessalonians 2 and 12 says that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Why do people go their own way and do their own thing and just tip their hat to the Lord on Sunday? They have pleasure in unrighteousness. They're not disciples of Christ. Multitudes of them will be judged and not even have a chance in the tribulation to go any further. They're leaven. He's cleaning out the body. And Vanessa said, I asked the Lord what he wanted to say about this dream and received Luke 16 and 10. One who is faithful in a very little is faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. We can't afford to deny God's word and justify ourselves in this denial and dishonesty, because judgment's coming. This is not humbling oneself. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I know people that do this. It's quite common with the rejection to do this. It's part of the nature of that spirit. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. She said, also I received by faith, Hosea 9 and 7. And this is just like Judy's word here. Hosea 9 and 7. The days of punishment have come. Have come. The days of recompense have come. Remember what I said about the Lord, what the Lord said? His recompense is before him. His reward is with him. Of course, before him was this asteroid, right? The days of recompense have come. Israel shall know it. Israel, a type of the church. The prophet is a fool. The man of the spirit is mad because of your great iniquity and great hatred. It's true. There's a lot of hatred out there, a lot of unforgiveness out there. And God has sent them false prophets, false pastors, leaders that don't have any common sense. And when I woke up from this dream, I started praying about it, and I fell asleep, and I woke up hearing the song, There's Power in the Blood. Well, amen. There is power in the blood. Can you get your hands around it? Can you receive it by faith and repentance? John 19:34. Howbeit, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and straightway there came out blood and water. And she said, God has been dealing with me about being humble and submitting myself more to Him. And I am glad Jesus exchanged His life for mine when He shed His blood so that I can do this. Thank you, Father. Well, amen. If the blood of the Lamb is spiritually on your doorposts and lintel, like in Exodus chapter 12, if it's there by faith, and we walk in and out under the blood, we're going to be safe, because He bore the curse for us. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So God put the curse of those who repent and believe on Jesus Christ. Now, there's a lot of people don't believe in a Passover for Christianity, and they don't believe in a Psalm 91 deliverance, and they don't believe that Jesus bore the curse. You're in trouble. There's judgments coming one right after another. It's going to be boom, 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 boom when they start. You're in trouble. You need to believe the Word of God. Stay home. Don't sit and listen to these preachers with their pablum. Stay home. Read your Bible. Find out what the truth is. Judgment's coming. I was sent this post by Ken Dewey. It was called America Warnings to Washington, D.C. And he said, I've been hearing again warnings about the coming days of the election and Washington, D.C. and the establishment and political parties, especially the Democratic Party. I have received numerous words of warning from the Lord about their coming, a day of shaking and of horrific events in America and in Washington, D.C. You must know that the Lord has talked to me about how He will bring down the Democratic Party and their platform. And this morning, I hear this word ringing in my ears. And this was posted on September 16. Horrific events coming to America. And He first spoke to him about this in February of 2013. But now, He's reemphasizing it. I have heard Him say that I should post this word again because it is soon to come now quickly, He says. Here's the word that I heard in February of 2013. I am moving in a horrific way. He says, in parenthesis, horrific in the dictionary, something causing horror, an overwhelming and painful feeling caused by something shocking and terrifying. And that was his note. He said, I'm moving in a horrific way in America, my wonders to perform. You must know and be ready, because without me, you will not stand. You can know all about what's going on out there. You can study it every day, but if you don't study to know Him and study to hear Him, you're going to miss it. It won't make any difference who did it. That's right. I will shake things off their foundations to uncover the wicked plan of the enemy to destroy this land. I will move to stop the present administration and the Democratic Party. They will fall and fall hard in the shaking. Many evil men will die the death, yes, tragic death, cutting them short of their goal. You must know and realize that I will strike the very ground they walk on. Washington, D.C. will be shaken. The buildings and the government leaders so bad, there will have to be an emergency leadership set up, and in the setting up of it, many changes will result. I will raise up new leaders to walk in a different way. He had one prophecy about that the buildings would fall on him, and that he would make sure that no one would come out of that rubble except the ones he wanted. But I'm going back to this revelation here. The present administration will cease, and many others. The Democratic Party will be devastated. I move to make a statement to the people of America. It will be catastrophe times three, whatever that means. We know that there are three different kinds of catastrophes, major catastrophes, that are going to come across the country. So then maybe that's what it means, I don't know. Or the magnitude times three, right? This has been my warning in the past that you have written. Earthquakes. Look for them on the West Coast and on the East Coast, and the New Madrid will split. There will result major destruction, and many will perish. America will arise from the ruins and arise different than when it went down, because in the shaking I will personally shake and open hearts to see me. Oh, God can do that. There is such repentance comes when something like this happens. It's going to change many, many hearts. Men will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have spoken. Good men will arise with healing, and there will be awakening. The sleeping giant will stand up. Revival will break out. Yes, it will. Of course, we've heard this in a lot of dreams about the revival breaking out in the midst of the earthquakes going across the country. As the earthquakes go across, the revival will follow. And we know it's about to happen. And he is going to reach out and judge people for their wickedness. It don't matter where they are in the country, he's going to judge them. They won't be able to hide. There's no place you can hide from God. Just ask Jonah. He went on to say the state of Texas will arise in leadership. That's good, because they sure have taken a whipping from this government. I'm talking about weather, warfare, and lots of other things they've done evil against Texas. Leaders will come forth to replace the fallen. I saw one particular man in Texas stand up. He came into my attention, and I heard the Lord say, "Read all about him and his beliefs." So I looked this man up on the internet and read all about his beliefs and history. I was hesitant to write his name, so I asked the Lord, "Do you want me to name him?" "Yes," he said, "I want you to name him here." So his name is Governor Rick Perry. Okay. And he didn't say who the president was going to be. This man was raising up, I believe, to help form a new government, is what he did say. So we want to make that plain. He's not saying he's going to be the president. I don't know. But anyway, I do believe that these judgments are going to grant a repentance to multitudes of lukewarm Christians, to sheep who are walking sometimes white, sometimes black. At least you could say that's lukewarm. And the Lord warned the lukewarm that he would spew them out of his mouth. And I do believe the Lord showed me that that meant out of the mouth of his body. he would reject them, meaning reprobate, those that don't repent. Of course, this is not a shot across the bow. We've already had those. This is going to kill a lot of people. And, of course, we pray that God has mercy upon His elect. And, Father, we just put our faith together right now. And we ask You, Lord, we all know people in these places. We ask You to have mercy on those, even the sheep with the black and the white. Because, Lord, such an opportunity is coming to cause people to love You and want You and seek You. And, Lord, if they die, they can't grow up. So, Lord, we're asking You to have mercy and grant grace to those that are walking in darkness. Man, Lord, many times they've been told by their preacher, it's okay, it's under the blood. But as we know, it's not. Because if we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain and fearful expectation of judgment. So they've been told it's all under the blood, so they live out from under the blood. They cater to their flesh. They walk in darkness. And Lord, what You're telling us here is if the people that are doing this will humble themselves, they can live through this and grow up. And Lord, that's what we're asking. We're asking for You to pour out Your mercy and Your grace upon the people that we've prayed for, the people of Your elect that are in these places, the people that are our lost loved ones that we've prayed and believed for, the ones that we've prayed for who we know are walking in black and white. Lord, we're asking You to reach out and have mercy upon these people and supernaturally deliver them, even if it comes to the place where, like Sandy was translated to the coast and people came around her and she was translated over here, bringing people away from the coast. Whoever You chose, Lord. And somebody else, Marlene, I believe, had just come back from a mission like that too. So, you know, Lord, we don't put anything past You. We have seen You do these things. And thank You, Father, for Your mercy and Your grace. And also, in Eve's dream, there were people that had survived. In place, they had survived the judgment. Oh, praise be to God. In place, they had survived the judgment. Lord, we're thanking You. We're praising You for doing that. Lord, we just know that You can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord, grant a wave of repentance. And Lord, I pray that You get this out to people so that they can see what is coming their way. We ask, Lord, that You would have a move, even a spiritual, personal revival among people, that they draw close to You, that they humble themselves by confession of sin, repentance, faith towards You, a request for Your protection, Your Psalm 91 Passover requests for these things, that they would request these things, because You said, Lord, that we have not because we ask not, that they, You would put it in their heart to pray for themselves and for their family. Prayer is most important right now. It's most important. We don't want to be distracted right now, Lord. No matter if whatever comes on that date, or if anything comes on that date, it's obvious. We're looking around us and seeing judgment come. And the righteous hideth himself, but the fool blunders right on in, right? So, Father, we thank You for waking people up that they see that you are about to judge in a very, very harsh way. But Lord, you are guiltless because you have warned and warned and warned. We ask for your mercy. We do not deserve your mercy. That's the very nature of mercy. It's the nature of grace. We do not deserve it, Lord. We just ask you for it. We thank you for saving or taking out the people who in the government are contributing towards the total corruption of this society. We ask that you clean house, Father, one way or the other, that you clean house, that you give us a chance to have a revival here, to be free to preach the gospel here. We thank you for reformers of all kinds, Lord, not only in the Christian realm, but also in the government realm. Reformers of all kinds, that you will empower them and give wisdom to them. We've heard about Cyrus, Lord, and we pray and we ask you to do it. Do it. Bring a Cyrus that would set your people free from bondage to this Babylonian government and deliver your people to go into the wilderness. Let them find Pharaoh's army at the bottom of the Red Sea as they go into the wilderness. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace towards us. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, please bless us, Lord. Please bring these words to the people's remembrance, Lord, that they will not be distracted in these days, but will seek your face, desire to humble themselves towards you. And Lord, when they cry out to you, hear their prayers. Have mercy. Hear their prayers. Hear our prayers, Lord, as we pray for them today, as we pray for them this week, the rest of this week, Lord. Hear our prayers. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for pouring forth of your gifts. And Lord, if you would, so far you haven't, but if you would, and you want to show us some things in time to warn multitudes of people, which I know is not necessary because you can warn exactly who you want to warn and not warn anybody else. But if you want us to do that, please send forth your wisdom and your grace. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.